so long as its inhabitants were unmolested by the mother country in the exercise of their important rights, they submitted to the form of English government. But when those rights were invaded, they spurned even the form away. This act was the revolution, which came, of course, and spontaneously, and had nothing in it of the wonderful or unforeseen. The wonder would have been if it had not occurred. It was indeed a happy and glorious event, but by no means unnatural. And I intend no slight to the revered actors in the revolution when I assert that their fathers before them were as free as they, every whit as free. The principles of the revolution were not the suddenly acquired property of a few bosoms. They were abroad in the land in the ages before. They had always been taught, like the truths of the Bible. They had descended from father to son down from those primitive days, when the pilgrim, established in his simple dwelling and seated at his blazing fire, piled high from the forest which shaded his door, repeated to his listening children the story of his wrongs and his resistance, and bade them rejoice, though the wild winds and the wild beasts were howling without, that they had nothing to fear from great men's oppression. Here are the beginnings of the revolution. Every settler's hearth was a school of independence. The scholars were apt, and the lessons sunk deeply. And thus it came that our country was always free. It could not be other than free.